Here in the month of November, the church gives us this kind of guided meditation, as it were, on death and the end and the life to come. Here in the northern hemisphere, as we look around, we see that the trees are giving up their leaves and going dormant. The grass is turning from green to brown, and all around it, nature seems to be speaking of a kind of death and an end. So it's very fitting that the church takes advantage of this kind of seasonal felicity to give us this teaching on our own end, our own death. Our gospel reading today, at first, appears to be some kind of a debate about marriage between Jesus and some group of challengers. But if we look deeper, we see the great connection with this season and are looking forward towards heaven. The key here is that the very first words speak that some Sadducees came to see Jesus. Now, Jesus had lots of adversaries, people that didn't like what he was doing, people trying to oppose him, particularly amongst the Jewish leaders. But as Jesus rightly points out, belief in the resurrection of the dead was believed by some of the Jews. The Pharisees, in particular, believed in a resurrection. Obviously, we see in our first reading, in the Maccabees, the Jews believed in a resurrection, but the Sadducees are the ones that come in the gospel today, and they are the ones who believe that there was no resurrection. You simply die, and you return to dust, and you are done. Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. I didn't make that up. Someone else did. But it's a way for us to remember the Pharisees are the ones that believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees don't. And so they are the ones that come to challenge Jesus today. And that is critical for understanding our gospel. Because this Sadducee that comes to Jesus, he proposes this question. I love that in the scriptures. Have you ever noticed that when anyone comes to Jesus to give him a question, they almost never want an answer from Jesus to their question? They have carefully formulated the question to try to trap Jesus. And they do that all the time. But I love Jesus. It's almost he relishes these moments, because some of his greatest teachings come precisely when someone has tried to trap Jesus. And that's a good lesson for us. Never try to trap God. He's way smarter. But Jesus takes advantage of this to teach us something. And so this Sadducee has gone on and on about this idea that, well, in the law, if a brother dies with no children, his brother has to marry his wife and raise children for him. It was in the law. But then what he does is he says, you know, what if this happens like 7 times in a row with 7 brothers? Whose wife will this woman be in this so-called resurrection? You see, the debate is not about marriage. The debate is about the resurrection. The little situation that the Sadducee has described is designed to make the resurrection look ridiculous. If there's a resurrection, this woman's been married 7 times. Look how ridiculous that looks, to think that in heaven she'd be married to 7 people. It's bizarre. So he's trying to make the resurrection look ridiculous. But Jesus doesn't fall in the trap. He rather gives us a new teaching, one that we only hear for the first time here, when he says, you know, in heaven, there is no marriage. They neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven. What an answer. How many people would have seen that coming? They seem to have Jesus trapped, and instead he says, well, your problem here is you don't understand the resurrection, because at the resurrection, there is no marriage. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think it's easy to hear that the wrong way. Because we might be inclined to think then that what Jesus is saying, that somehow marriage isn't good, that in heaven there's only good things, so there's no marriage, that wouldn't seem to make sense at all, because Jesus is the one who elevates marriage and says it's a sacrament. You've heard it said you can divorce your wife and marry another. I say, marriage is permanent for life. If you divorce your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. Jesus ups the ante. So it cannot be that Jesus is saying somehow that marriage isn't special, that it's not important. What he's trying to draw our attention to is the whole meaning of a sacrament in the first place. You see, all the sacraments, they're for this world. They are the special sacred signs of God's presence breaking into this world and affecting something real, like in baptism, being cleansed from our sins, like in marriage, the two becoming one. But they don't stop there. Sacred signs point us beyond just this world to the next. Every sacred sign is pointing us forward, and so in marriage. So the husband and wife, that truly the two become one flesh in this world, it's not an end in itself. It's designed to point us toward heaven. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think when I hear that phrase, God is love, it seems a little abstract. What does it mean to say God is love? God is hard to understand sometimes. But things of this earth, we understand a little better. So we can understand the love between a husband and a wife. We see it in other people. We experience it ourselves. I may not know exactly how to describe that God loves me, but I know what it means to say, I love my spouse. My spouse loves me. That love, that family love that is seen in the rearing of children, all that is a sign of the way God loves us. And this is the key. God wants that kind of relationship with us. We can look at a married couple and say, see how they love each other. God says, see that? That's just a little bit about how I love you. The truth is, the reason there is no marriage in heaven is because in heaven, it's as though we are all married to God. That relationship we have among spouses on this earth is meant to be a foreshadowing of what we will all have with God in heaven. In light of that, I think it can make a little more sense about the celibate vocation of priests and brothers and sisters in religious life. You see, if there's no marriage in heaven, and marriage in this life is meant to be a sign of the relationship we'll have with God in heaven, the celibate person in this life certainly does not demean marriage. If marriage is not a good, then giving up being married would mean nothing. On the contrary, the celibate person says, the sign of marriage in this life that points to heaven, that relationship with God is so real, even now, that I choose willingly to forego the sign of being married in this life to point towards its fulfillment in heaven. We will all be married to God in heaven. So the priest, the sister, the brother in this life says, that is so real that I will witness to the next life, even in this life, by forgoing the sign of earthly marriage. A lot of people ask, you know, will I know my spouse then in heaven? Of course. Nothing that is good in this life is done away with in heaven. Rather, it's perfected. That relationship that you have with your spouse in this life, we will all have with God and with one another, for we will all be one as we stand before the throne of God. That's how we see that our reading today really is about death, about the end, and about heaven. Jesus uses this opportunity on this supposed quarrel about marriage to point us to what marriage was all about in the first place. That our goal in life is to be forever in heaven with God. That's what our readings in the next few weeks are about. To stir up that intensity, that desire for heaven. We want to be able to be like those Maccabees in the first reading, that heaven is so real to them that it says they willingly stick out their tongue to have it cut out, and here are my hands, cut them off if you want. I trust that the God who gave them to me will restore them to me in heaven. That's an intense belief in heaven, and that's what we've got to have. So as we go through this month of November, it starts with All Saints' Day, where we think about those people that are in heaven, and it points us to them, that we want to be with them. We think about the poor souls in purgatory on All Souls' Day. We pray for them, that they too would be in heaven. And we recognize that all of them, the saints, the souls in purgatory, we're all together. We pray for each other, the church militant here on earth, that as we go our way, we might keep our eyes fixed on our goal, heaven, to be with God forever. That's what marriage is about. That's what martyrdom is about. That's ultimately what all our lives are about, to be with God forever in heaven. Let us be grateful for this month of November that the church gives us to focus us on our goal, on our mission, that we might truly join the church triumphant one day, and there we will all be face to face with God. What a beautiful vision. It spurs us on to victory.